Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Eminem. That's true, it is. How about that? How about
Ladies
Andy Hart?
Gentlemen, Andy Hart.
It's like rap and hip-hop expert Andy Hart.
It's like
nailing it.
One rejoin every, like, 4 days, I'm, like, excited to answer who
the
this
Source
is.
Source magazine who.
Yeah, pretty much. Hip-hop historian Andy Hart over here.
Damn right.
Can I tell you one thing I'm sick of before we get to the Bruins?
Oh, boy. Happy Arcand gone. We're back to sick of something Arcand.
We knew that wasn't sticking around.
Well, it's 4:30.
Around.
We're getting close.
We are.
He's got about 34 minutes
He's
left.
Itching for the bitching.
That commercial where the janitor sings and the co-workers buy him a tuxedo off of Amazon and make him sing What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love, and that is, you know what I'm talking about?
I do not.
You haven't seen that ad?
No.
That ad's on all the time.
Why do you watch ads?
Because they're ads. They're on.
Is your clicker broken?
No, it's not broken. It's just I don't always have something to switch to. You know, it's just sometimes I'm just stuck there on the thing. This ad's on constantly. You haven't seen this?
No.
It's a janitor, right? He's mopping the floor, and he's singing, and the people who work in the theater, he works in a theater, and all the other people who work in a theater are like, oh, this guy's really good at singing. Let's buy him a tuxedo off of Amazon, which, from the guy, I got the tuxedo from Amazon. I'm like, thanks, guys. This is great. Thanks so much. And then they say, they hold up a sign, and they say, sing. And they all sit there, and the janitor, in his new Amazon tuxedo, sings What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love to basically an empty auditorium except for like a handful of his coworkers. And I've seen this ad so many times that I just, if I'm this janitor, I got to be like, all right, so now I have to put on a show for you too? You're giving me this cheap tuxedo, and now I have to come up here and perform for
I
you?
I to entertain you?
I'm some sort of clown?
About.
I amuse you?
Seriously. Maybe I've just seen it too many times,
wow.
And it's driving me nuts, like Peyton Manning or whatever, but I've had it with this ad.
Sounds like it was kind of a, you know, good moral
And what's it for? Amazon?
It's an Amazon commercial.
He said Amazon seven times.
No, I know, but I was like, is it an Amazon?
He gave them plenty of free ads.
And sure Happy Arcand is ancient history today.
Long gone, yes. Hard to find.
Yes, it is. And if you think that's bad, how about the Bruins last night? You want angry Arcand? Holy moly. That was, listen, we all expected this was going to be a tougher matchup against Winnipeg. I didn't think they were going to get the bleep kicked out of them like that. I didn't think they were going to walk in to a buzzsaw and have Winnipeg really from the jump. I mean, that game was never really close. And to see them melt down like that in the third period, to see Swayman now, one of the worst goalies in the NHL. I mean, there's no dressing this up anymore.
That bad angle goalie on the goal line extended there,
yeah.
Like, I don't know how that got in.
I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what's
wrong.
You're
right. He kind of stinks right now.
He sucks.
And then you got Brad Marchand kind of throwing him under the bus afterwards. Like, yeah, no, I don't feel bad for him out there.
Right.
He's part of the problem.
He said, I'm not going to isolate him.
Right.
We all had a bad game. But
he said,
was
like,
part
basically,
of
he's
right.
part of the problem, too. We all stink.
Mm-hmm.
You know what this felt like? This felt like the final straw to fire your coach if they hadn't already done that.
Yeah.
This performance. I mean, you got the coaches yelling at each other between the benches. You got multiple fights going on. You got falling apart. Like, it was bad penalties, which they had bad penalties, and then they had bad penalties that I'm not even sure were penalties, but it didn't make a difference. You were, like, non-competitive in that game.
Do we have Marchand after the game talking about the bad practices? Because I heard this, and I thought, oh, you had bad practices all week, did you?
Mm.
That's weird, because you've been kicking ass, right? I mean, you've been beating all these bad teams. You've been running up your stats, and Marchand's been scoring all these goals, and Swayman looks a lot better, and so forth. And then after the game, after they get dusted 8-1, here's Marchand.
Coming. Our practices have been sloppy. Our execution's been off there. And it bleeds into games. You know, the way you practice is how you play. It starts there, and you're good enough. So we need to do a better job at being good at practice, and that will translate to games.
Isn't that partially his job, right?
Yes.
He's a captain. Aren't you supposed to be running these practices a little tired? Aren't you supposed to be cracking that whip there, Marchand? Like, I understand. It's good to call your team out when you think they're doing something wrong, but, yeah, we expected to get our ass kicked by Winnipeg. Our practices weren't very good. Well, how many bad practices in a row did you have? And how come you didn't fix it? How come you didn't do anything about it? Like, why are you telling us this now, you know?
Yeah, I always – I hate the – retroactive tell me how practice was. Like, oh, we won the game. We had a great week of practice. I wish everybody, like, Patriots, tell me on Friday how the week of practice was. Bruins, tell me in the morning skate how the practices have been going so I know what to expect. Don't wait to see the end result on the scoreboard and then tell me. It reminded me a little bit of earlier in the year when we found out they were fat and out of shape in camp after they already sucked to start the season. Like, okay, well, I don't like that. But this was an embarrassing game. I said to you, you like to say when the Bruins get shut out, the Bruins got blanked.
Right.
They scored a goal last night, but they got blanked.
Oh, yeah.
They got absolutely blanked hard.
Got blanked hard last night.
Very hard.
Up in winter.
That was a get-wrong game.
Yeah.
That was because they had built this 7 wins in 10 games, the Sacco era. I don't know about the and they were even talking about it on the broadcast, how you started to wonder, was the competition the biggest factor in the success after Sacco took over? I think you got the answer last night. I don't want to overreact Arcan style to one game, but if last night was any indication of what this team is when they face a legitimate opponent, a 29-0 opponent, they're not very good.
No.
And I don't know that they've fixed what we felt like we were starting to give them credit for fixing. Better execution, a little bit more cohesive offense. Like, the bottom fell out, and some of the goals they gave up were, again, they looked slow. They looked a step behind.
Yeah.
They looked like a varsity team was playing with a JV team.
Yeah. And some of the goals, like Lorai had the puck and he's trying to break it out. Marchand and Pastrnak take off. They're out of the play. Like, they're gone. They're long gone. And you're like, well, wait a minute, guys. Let's get the breakout going first here. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. All of a sudden, there's a turnover. Boom, back the other way. Puck's in the net. I feel like that happened 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
And these are your guys. This is Marchand and Pastrnak. These are the guys who shouldn't be out there picking spots. They should be out there contributing and participating in the play until they're ready to actually go into the zone. And they're just taking off and leaving these guys hung out to dry. I saw that a bunch. I didn't like it. I didn't really like anything about that game. Yes, Dan.
To go back to something you said a couple moments ago, I don't really think it is a good thing that Brad Marchand's calling out his team right now. And this is a very anti-Bruins thing that I feel like we're starting to see percolate this year, where I feel like in the past, more times than not, we wouldn't hear it, but we'd see it. They'd handle it, and all of a sudden it'd be better. But now I have to hear about it in a postgame after you just got whooped on the road against a good team. And is anything going to change? I don't know, but I don't like that kind of direction versus years past.
Bergeron would call out a team. He'd call out the team sometimes. You'd see it on, like, Behind the Bee or one of those shows or something. But, like, once in a while, he'd go out there and he'd say what he had to say.
All right. Okay.
He didn't do it a lot, but he'd call him out.
And I don't know, there were a lot of opportunities in recent regular seasons.
That's true.
That's the other thing.
Wasn't a lot to complain about.
You're kind of trudging through this season, so there are opportunities for this. And maybe we use the word desperation with Monty over the course of time. Maybe there's a little desperation in Marchand's sort of internal clock of the season. You know,
the biological clock is ticking.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Like,
yeah.
I only have so many more years. This season is getting toward, you know, the quarter pole is gone. We're heading towards the half pole and we haven't really fixed anything. We're the kings of the dip poos. Like, if you give us crappy opponents, we'll beat them.
Right.
But other than that, we're not measuring up. And this was probably alarming to him.
Yeah, it was alarming to me. It should be alarming to people. I think Joe Sacco probably watched it and was like, okay, like, this is what happens when we're not playing Detroit and Montreal and these other crap teams. This is what a real team looks like, and this is what we look like against the real team. They may have gotten their ass kicked on the scoreboard, but the Bruins did pretty well in 3 fights, and that brings us to a new WEEI Afternoon segment that we're debuting right now called Bruins Fight Night. All right, so there were 3 fights in this game. They all happened in the third period. Bruins just started gooning it up after they went down like 5-1 or 6-1, whatever it was. They knew the game was over. They were trying to get a spark, and it began with Trent Frederick, who went after the not exactly imposing David Gustafson, who is 6'2", 196, Frederick clocking in at 6'3", 221, a guy who is no stranger to the fisticuffs. Here's how that fight went.
Look out here. It's Gustafson dropping him with Trent Frederick on at center ice. Frederick, a right hand. He just dropped Gustafson with a straight right.
So that's pretty much it. It was one punch.
Oh, that's
quick. Frederick got right in there. Gustafson went down. Gustafson, not a fighter, really. That's not really his game. Frederick, it is. So I think we all expected it to go like that. Right off the face-off, Frederick was all over Gustafson. I mean, he's throwing cross-checks at him like he knew something was going to happen there. I thought one of Gustafson's teammates, one of those big guys, was going to come over and fight Frederick. Instead, Right after this, Logan Stanley, who is a moose, 6'7", 231. The guy's basically Jason Tatum out there, going up against our guy, who's no small guy himself, Mark Kastelic. Here's how that fight went.
Now Kastelic's going to go with Stanley. Kastelic to right, Stanley right, Kastelic to right, Kastelic to right hand. Kastelic spins him around. Kastelic to right, Kastelic to right, Kastelic another right. Stanley holds on. Kastelic trying to get it free. Kastelic to right. Kastelic buckled him to his knees. This had been brewing since the last TV timeout.
That's true. Kastelic had been wanting to fight basically the whole game, so he finally got his pound of flesh there from Logan Stanley, a tall drink of water. And Kastelic won that fight, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, Frederick clearly knocked Gustafson down. Kastelic, despite being 3 inches shorter and about 5 pounds lighter than Logan Stanley, definitely got the better of him in that fight. Got way more punches off and was able to sort of lock up Stanley's big right hand. And I'd say Bruins 2-0 so far in these fights, which brings us to the last one. And that is another heavyweight bout. You got a heavyweight bout there with Kastelic and Stanley. How about Nikita Zadorov and Adam Lowry? Zadorov checking in at 6'6", 248. Lowry at 6'5", 210. This was the last fight of the night. I don't think we have sound of this, so I'll just go ahead and tell you that Lowry started off with some body blows, which I never understand the body blows. Guy's got armor on, basically. You got to go for the head. I know they're wearing helmets, but at least you got a better chance of connecting up there. And this one, I don't know if there was a clear winner of this fight, but I'd still probably give it to Zadorov. I'd say Zadorov was a little bit. He ended up wrestling him down at the end. He got a couple punches in. Both guys got their shots in. Lowry basically was saying, all right, enough of this. You guys want to goon it up. Let's go. I'll give you a fight.
Yeah, and after the first two, during the penalty announcements and then the benches were yelling, Lowry was just skating around, talking, yelling. I mean, I don't know exactly but he was engaging the Bruins bench. He wanted this, and then they went for the faceoff in front, and they dropped and came together old school. It also hit me in this little phase here how much I like hockey fights and how ridiculous they are.
Yeah, they are pretty funny.
Like, when you just think about it, they're unlike nothing else where fighting, other than like boxing, which are actual, but
it's not really like boxing.
No, that's what I mean.
Because you have to hold the guy out, you know? You got to try and hold his arm back.
And I love, my favorite is like the jersey jab, where you grab the jersey and then you do the little chin jabs, trying to get a bunch of little like rabbit punches in.
Yeah.
But just to think about.
Thornton was good at that.
Oh, very good. And that would worry me the most. I feel like you see the big rights coming. It's those little left-hand jersey jabs that I think could actually leave a little, like, you could wake up with a sore jaw the next morning.
Yeah, you certainly could. Here's the sound from Zadorov and Lowry.
Yeah, here we go. So this is going to be Lowry and Nikita Zadorov. These are two big boys that know what they're doing. Lowry's got his grip. Zadorov with a reach. Advantage it at the thing. They start to trade. This is a heavyweight tilt. Zadorov 6'6", 245. Adam Lowry is a big man, but undersized in that matchup. And that is Adam Lowry once again. Pissed about what he saw. He said it, and then he did it.
Said it, and then he did it.
I like how he's like, yeah, Zadorov 6'6", 248. Lowry, also very big. Don't have his height and weight right now, but he's also big. Like, in the heavyweight fight.
Yeah, no, that was the only redeeming entertainment value from a Bruins perspective in that 2+ hours of just debacle.
Yeah, ugly game. Ugly, goony game.
Plus, I had already had like an eggnog and a half at that point, so I was ready to yell at a hockey fight.
I
kind of was. I was feeling good. The whiskey had kicked in a little
bit. You were on your feet screaming at the TV.
Oh, yeah.
I could see that.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it.
Your daughter's
Trent.
Your daughter's like, I thought we were watching a Christmas movie tonight, Dad.
Yeah, she was probably on like TikTok or something.
Yeah.
Damn
kids. Get back on TikTok. I'm watching men fight.
Weirdly, on skates.
Yeah, awkwardly.
They had helmets and gloves on. They took them off to fight.
Yeah. Like men.
That's what we do. Bare
so
knuckle.
There you go. So far, Trent Frederick, Mark Kastelic, Nikita Zadorov. I give them all wins. Bruins now 3-0. We're going to continue this. We'll keep it tally.
Sure.
of all the fights.
We got to make this season entertaining somehow.
We're going to have to do it because I'm telling you, the hockey-wise, it's not that great. So, yeah, we'll keep track of all the fights that the big bad Bruins get in, how they do, and how many they win, records, all that stuff. We'll let you know as the season goes on, and we'll tally it all up at the end of the year. I know that the season's already well underway, but we just thought of the segment this week. So there you go. What do you want from us? 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get to some phone calls on Bill Belichick, on Garrett Crochet, the newest member of the Boston Red Sox. We got all that coming up next.